get up now, get up out of bed. Wash your face, brush your teeth, comb your sleepy head. Here's your clothes and your shoes. Hear the words I said, get up now.
This is Because I Said So, and what would you say if your son came up to you and said, Mom, I have something to tell you. I'm gay. What would you say? What would you do? Well, we have a guest joining us who's going to tell us her story and how she handled it. And it's a really, really amazing story, so you don't want to miss it.
She's lovely, but hurry. The bus is here. Be careful. Come back here. Did you wash behind?
Yes, you're listening to Because I Said So. And we have a very special guest and a very special topic to discuss on today's show. Lynn Scortino is joining us, and she's a family member of one of our hosts. Jackie?
She's my aunt, yes, one of many aunts on that side of the family. One of my favorites, I'll just say.
Thanks for joining us, Lynn, especially because we, you know, the topic that we are going to discuss is something that, you know, may be hard for people to talk about, but it's not too hard for you anymore, is it?
No, not at all. Not at all.
So you have a son. How many children do you have total, Lynn?
We have three children, a son and two daughters.
Okay. Is your son the oldest?
He is.
Okay. And John at the age of 16 comes to you and says, Mom, what's he say?
Well, it was interesting because, first of all, I want to say the first inkling that John was gay was probably when he was four. And I said the words out loud to a friend, and my heart sunk to my stomach, and I thought, and I knew I had spoken the truth. You know, it was just one of those mother's realizations. It was like, wow.
I'm confused, though. At four years old, what made you say that? What was it?
There were just things about the way he was never, you know, a rough and tumble boy. He preferred to play with his sisters and play with dolls. He wasn't aggressive at all. He was very, even then he had some effeminate ways about him. You know, there were little tiny signs that a mom would notice,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Okay.
And so that thought kind of came, and of course I pushed it out of my head. Mm-hmm. And when he was 16, he did something silly, and I said, believe it or not, I said, John, stop acting so gay.
Well, that's a common expression.
I am.
Mm-hmm. And he
Wait,
used
that's
that.
That's how he said it? Wow. That's how he told you then?
He said, I am. I was standing in the kitchen. He was standing in the kitchen. And,
Wow.
Yeah, that's
so it's not like he sat you down after dinner and said, I have to have a serious conversation.
No.
He just kind of sprung it on you like that.
But then what was your reaction after he did that?
I would say probably instant fear and heartbreak. You know, it's a tough process to go through because, frankly, it's really like a death. When you hear those words, the dreams that you have for your children, and we all have dreams for our children, the dreams that you have really have to die because my dream for John was to meet a lovely wife and have a wonderful family and, you know, all those dreams that we have for our children, and all of a sudden those dreams weren't going to happen.
But,
so,
you know, for the listeners out there, stay with us because this isn't all bad. This isn't all negative. But, I mean, he certainly, though, could have those dreams. It's not going to be with a woman, but it's going to be with a man, and they can have,
right,
you know,
right.
children.
I had to change my dream. I just had to,
right.
I had to change my
right.
dream. But it's still, it really did feel like a death. I had to change my thinking. I had to change just how I looked at him and what his future was going to be. And, of course, fear, because I knew what his future was going to be. You know, with how other people were going to treat him. And
so how old,
you know,
is he now?
He's 26.
He's 26. That was 10 years ago.
It was 10 years
and so
ago.
So in that reality, when, you know, it's one thing to think it, and it's another thing to have it said to you standing in your kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Had you always thought up to then, you know, I'm a really tolerant person, you know, if indeed this happens, I can handle it. And then what was it like when it was actually real?
Yes, I always saw myself as very tolerant and open-minded. My career was in the restaurant world, so I was around gay people all the time. I also, you know, saw many of my good friends die from AIDS. So all those things run through your head. And when you, I had more emotions than I can even tell you, but it was just, like I said, I think it was fear and heartbreak were my initial emotions. I didn't really want to believe it. I mean, we went through a process that was, are you sure?
Right. Is this a phase? Right.
Yeah.
Are you sure? You know, how do you know? Have you ever been with a girl? How do you know you don't like a girl?
Mm-hmm. What was his answer to that?
Kind of questions. Well, and he was like, Mom, I know.
No, does he say that he knew, you know, at the age of four? Or when does he say it?
No, he, I would say he was probably 13 or 14 when he started to recognize the fact that he was different.
Mm-hmm. Adolescence.
He didn't know what kind of different and what that difference was. He was in Catholic school at the time. And all of a sudden he wanted to change schools and go to the public school. And he was making, you know, he was having struggles. Boys were teasing him, you know, actually calling him a faggot before he even knew what a faggot was, I think.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And,
so he was going through all of that and you didn't really realize that?
No. Wow. I didn't know it.
Hmm. That's tough.
Yeah. And it makes me really sad.
Yeah.
To even think about, I mean, you know how cruel.
Well, that's part of, I think, you know, kids struggle with so much and not being able, that's part of the real dilemma, not being able to share that stuff with your parents, you know, at that age is got to be really tough.
Yeah.
But I don't even know really if he knew how to share it at that time,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Right, he couldn't articulate it.
Yeah, he was in such a struggle in his own head trying to figure it out. So anyway, he went to public school, met a couple gay people. And then it was like the light bulb kind of came on.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, with the power of the Internet, he went on the Internet and checked out all kinds of things and asked questions and, you know, kind of came to the conclusion at 16 that, yep, that's why I'm different.
I think, you know, the first question when we started talking about this before we were on the air, Lynn, that I think about, you know, because I think about, I have two young boys and, you know, my husband, they're all boy. It's, you know, so what did Dad say?
And, you know, that was my first thought when I heard this in the family is, what is Henry going to say?
Yeah. Well, I have to give my husband applause because he didn't waver for one second. He just said, I'm heartbroken, but he's my son, and I love him unconditionally, and it is what it is.
So did you have that conversation, or did John have that conversation?
I did.
You did?
Yeah. I did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Later in the evening, I had it, and I had it alone with him just in case.
Right,
he had
right.
You know, typical mother protecting her children.
Exactly.
Just in case he had a negative reaction, I wanted to, you know, steer it in another direction or have that privately with him until he got his wits about himself. But I have to say, it was one of my proudest moments of him. Was as
agree.
A dad, he was absolutely unwavering.
So
now, his process has been slower, I would say, than mine. As far as talking about it, or you know, and it definitely has to become easier for him because I've taken the lead on that. But yeah, he really has been terrific.
Well, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, it's not even just, you know, mom and dad. It's also dealing with the rest of the world and what they say and what they think and them sharing their opinions of your gay son. So we'll talk about that when we come back.
Make your Sunday night family night with WSCL. Play a board game, cook a meal together, or just spend some quiet time with our special family night programs. Young classical musicians on From the Top at 5, classical music for kids at 6, and original stories and music with a jar full of stories at 6:30. Turn off the TV, gather the kids, and start a family night tradition at your house every Sunday on WSCL 89.5 FM.
You're listening to Because I Said So. We're rejoined by Lynn Scortino, who is Jackie's aunt, and she's graciously joined us to talk about how she and her family handled the fact that her son, at the age of 16, came out and told everyone that he was gay. And I know I initially asked you, Lynn, you know, what your husband's reaction was, because, I mean, that's dad, that's pops. But he's not the first person that you told then?
Actually, no. He wasn't home when John told me, and I needed to talk to somebody, you know, right away. I felt that need, and so I immediately called my sister Jenny, and was crying and shaking, and you know, I had to let it out somewhere, and it wasn't going to be in front of John.
Right. And
so
your sister said what?
Pardon me?
Your sister said what to you?
She just said it was fine, that we loved John unconditionally and everything was going to be fine. And once she said that, I took it as gospel and thought, okay, everything's going to be fine. And then Henry came home later that night and I sat down and told him. And, you know, of course he had the questions, is he sure, those kind of questions. And frankly, I did do most of the talking with John. You know, it took a while for John to be able to feel comfortable talking to his dad and his dad to feel comfortable talking to him about the subject.
Oh, certainly.
You know, so the love was always there, but the openness was not.
Was he already, like, had he already told his friends at school and stuff, or?
I think there were some, well, obviously it had some conversation with a couple of the gay guys in school. So there were a couple of friends.
Mm-hmm.
That knew before us, and I think he lived, you know, he kind of lived a second life for a little while, you know, just exploring and figuring it all out without sharing a whole lot with us.
Mm-hmm.
Until I guess he got comfortable in his own skin.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was just thinking that, you know, I just wanted to tell people that you're one of 10 children.
Yes.
So it had to occur to you that there was going to be kind of variations in reactions as you kind of go down the line here. I mean, was your next thought like, okay, how do I map this out?
Did you send out a blast email, or did you just wait for the Christmas card?
Well, I'm saying, you know, one sister down, not, you know, eight more to go.
Good Lord.
That's a lot.
Yeah. And, you know, of course you go through the ones, you know what other, you know, like, okay, that she's religious. She's not going to accept this one. My mom's not going to accept it. How are my brothers going to do this?
Wow.
I mean, and those thoughts just run like bullets through your head. It's like, ding, 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 ding. It's like, oh my God. Like, mm-hmm. Who am I going to tell, and who am I not going to tell?
And this family isn't really.
People,
go ahead.
I told a couple people in confidence, please don't tell. I'm not ready to share this yet. But as you would guess, how big families work.
That's what I was just going to say. This is not a family for keeping secrets.
Right. There were not many secrets. Although it wasn't a conversation probably for a couple years with a few of them. And I don't think I had an actual conversation with my mom about it until 2 years ago.
That's what I was going to say. Your mother's how old, Lynn?
She's 85 now.
Yeah, it's a different time. So the thoughts coming from her are because of where she's coming from, really. It's not saying that she doesn't love him. It's that she, you know.
So wait, till 2 years ago. So, but there's been plenty of Christmases and Thanksgivings. I mean, I presume he's had boyfriends. And does he bring the boyfriend to Thanksgiving dinner?
No, he's never really had. He's lived out in San Diego for the last 4 years. I mean, he's back now, but so he's out there for 4 years, and he never really had a boyfriend, you know, at those times to bring around. Although I've had family at my house, and he has been dating someone, and they've come over.
Mm-hmm.
And then I felt like, you're at my house. That's the way it goes.
Right.
Exactly. And that was part of this whole kind of accepting and embracing it process too, right? Is that first you worry about what other people think, and then you decide you're not going to do that anymore?
Yeah, I mean, my first goal, my very first goal, of course, was to protect John. So I really only told people that I knew would love him unconditionally, because my goal was to surround him with people that loved him. Because frankly, he was just as worried about people not liking him too. I mean, he's a young kid; he was trying to figure it out himself. So to think that an aunt or an uncle was going to hate you because of something like that was quite daunting.
I can't imagine.
So
that.
My goal initially was just to protect him and surround him with people that I knew would love him unconditionally. And then, you know, like Jackie and I were talking earlier, it progresses. And you set little goals for yourself, or I have set little goals for myself where I could say it a little bit easier to people, or I would just bring it up casually.
That's what I was thinking, Lynn. It's not like every time you have a conversation with someone, you have to make a point to talk about your gay son. Like, that's not... You want to be able to talk about your children.
Your son. Yeah, except that I'm sure you just think in everyday conversation, you know, oh, how's your son? Is he dating anyone? Is your, I mean, just stuff comes up.
Yeah.
And I think you always have to have in the back of your head, how is this person going to respond
exactly.
to that?
Exactly. Yeah. And you do throw that around in your head. Like I deliver Meals on Wheels every Tuesday, and I've got a lot of older people that I spend a lot of time talking to. And John asked me one time, well, you know, what do you say to them? Like, if so-and-so asks you, does John have a girlfriend? Do you tell him I'm gay? And I said, actually, no. I mean, there's some that have given me reason to believe that they're not, that they're open-minded to it. And then, of course, it's easier to say. But the older 85-year-old guy that has made a couple of homophobic remarks, why would I do that?
Yeah. You don't want to put yourself in that situation either.
Yeah. So. It's just not worth it. It's not worth it. On the other hand, if there's a younger person that I can talk to about it, where it is worth taking the time to talk and give them my perspective and open up dialogue for them if they have any questions for me. You know, it's my job at this point to educate those kind of people, but I don't want to be in your face either.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want to be the rah-rah gay thing. I still believe on some level that it's a private matter. You know, mm-hmm. it doesn't need to be a constant conversation.
And I know that you had said, too, that, you know, John has two sisters, too, and... they've been pretty much nothing but great to him as well. You have a pretty good story, Lynn, because everything sounds pretty positive. I mean, I don't know if you haven't shared yet the crazy reactions you got from some people, but as far as the family members are concerned, everyone's pretty much embraced it.
They have. And you're right. I've been very lucky in that regard. And, you know, and a lot of that is due to the time, too. I mean, it really has just become, you know, on some level, it's certainly more accepted than it was 10 years ago. There's still places to go with it, but it's I thank God it wasn't 20 years ago that this was, you know, John and I,
mm-hmm.
John managing this, because it was a different world.
Mm-hmm.
I was just going to say, we're going to take a quick break and we're going to come back with you again because we're not done. We've got plenty of questions. I'm sure people out there. And two, you know, we ask our viewers to kind of post things on our Facebook page, too. And so this conversation, you know, may be continued later because some of the questions we might get on our Facebook page, Lynn, where we might have to reach out to you and say, you know, someone wants to know blank, blank, blank. So
I would be more than happy to do that.
Okay. We'll be right back.
I'm Helen Sini, host of Deutsche Welle's weekly news magazine Inside Europe. We dig a little deeper into the important stories shaping the region. From Dublin to Moscow, the issues facing Europe are also touching many Americans. So join us this week as we explore the people, politics and culture of one of the world's most dynamic regions.
Thursday evening at 8 on NPR News Talk 90.7 WSDL.
You're listening to Because I Said So, a show that I wish was an hour long because we just always have so much to talk about. We're joined by Lynn Scortino, who is Jackie's aunt, sharing the story of when her son came out. And something had sparked this conversation earlier today with Jackie mentioning you made a New Year's resolution that had something to do with the circumstances of your son being gay. What was that, Lynn?
Well, you know, as I progressed with the idea of John being gay, and so I've gotten used to the idea, one of the things that I realized I was not doing well was, we kind of talked about this in the last segment, was just opening up conversation, allowing people to ask questions or just to have dialogue about John and being able to say more easily for myself, my son is gay.
Mm-hmm.
So I had made it a New Year's resolution to just get better at it, to be conscious of it and to not shy from it, not be in your face about it, but just to be able to casually say, Yeah, my son's gay, or somebody says, is your son dating someone? Well, yes, he has a partner. No, he doesn't have a partner right now. And, you know, just kind of making it easier conversation. And ironically, we were down at visiting Jackie, and I was out with my sister and a girlfriend, and we're sitting at a table, we're sitting at a bar at a restaurant, and there was a couple there that were sitting to my right. My sister and friend were on my left. And we were just talking, and of course, you know, one of them was from Pittsburgh, and Pittsburghers all talk to everybody. And so we started talking. One was from Lancaster, and they actually live in Lancaster now. And I don't know if any of you are familiar with Lancaster, but it's a very conservative area.
I'm from Lancaster, yes.
So we're talking, and somehow, you know, we got talking about our children, and my son's a lawyer, I have another son that's this, and one's married, one's not, yada, yada. So they started asking about my children. And if I was a grandmother or anything, and I said, actually, no, you know, that's not going to happen anytime soon. You know, my girls aren't in that direction. And so in my head, and I'm telling you, it'll take me 5 minutes to tell you what was in my head that took 2 seconds in my head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, should I say it? Should I not say it? Lancaster's, you know, it's a very conservative area. Are they going to judge me? Are they going to judge my son? Are they, you know, are they not going to want to talk to me? I mean, just all these silly things in my head. And so my final decision was, I'm never going to see these people again. You know, be brave, Lynn, and say it. So, and I said, my son is gay. And so I don't know, you know, what the children's situation will be there. And the gentleman sitting to my right said, my son is gay. Can we talk about this?
Oh, my word. Oh, my
That's
goodness.
Funny.
And before you knew it, my back was completely turned from my sister and my friend. And we were in this deep conversation. And, you know, and I said, sure, what do you want to talk about?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, well, when did you first find out? What was your reaction? All those questions that people talk about. But this is a man who had with a son who was gay.
Yeah.
His son's a lawyer, very successful man, has his first partner, lives in Florida. But, he said, you know, I noticed that you just so casually said my son is gay. To which I said, huh, funny you should notice that. That's my New Year's resolution, to be able to say that. And he asked me how I did it, you know, how I did it.
Because he wants to be able to do that too, right?
Yeah, there is a point, yeah. He admired that I was brave enough to say it out loud.
Wow.
And he wanted to know how to do it. And then when I explained the process of what went through my head before I said the words, he said, I have that all the time. And he said, for instance, I live in Lancaster. My boss is very conservative. Mm-hmm. You know, he said, and I stew in my head all the time, what am I going to say when my boss says to me, so, does your son have a girlfriend?
Yeah.
And he said, and I worry about those things all the time. And, you know, so we talked about that. And essentially my feeling becomes stronger on that all the time is, you know, if you're comfortable with it, then people tend to be more comfortable with it too.
My college roommate is gay, and she's out with her family, but she's not out at work. So she has that situation too, where her coworkers are always asking her about her personal life, and she's really not able to be honest about it. And it's, I think, if more people were honest about it, I think we'd all realize how many friends, aunts, uncles, relatives, coworkers that we do know that are gay. I think that would
right.
be a positive.
That's exactly right, and that's pretty much what I said to him. You know, I feel like it's our duty on some level to educate people that way. He likes you. You're a great employee. You know, you do all these things. What difference does it make if your son is gay? And fact of the matter is, most people probably know anyway.
Mm-hmm.
There's enough signs. There's enough, you know, things out there that give you an indication. So chances are, if they met him, they're on some level aware of it anyway.
Yeah, I think you're right. I do. I think that it's kind of assumed undercover, but not really talked about. So if no one's talking about it, then it's not going to be out in the open.
So what would you
right.
say
if
to
nobody's
other
nobody's talking about it, if the people who are gay are not talking about it, and like I said, I'm just, it doesn't need to be the yay gay thing. I'm
right.
just a minimal level. You know, to say, yeah, my life is a little different than yours.
And there are people who are just starting to go through this process now. What would you say to them as they start down this road that you've been down?
I would have to say, give yourself some time. I have to say, I don't have many regrets about my process. I think, and it is a process. The only thing I question, I regret is asking him, are you sure, and stuff like that. But
I think that's completely normal.
With every parent whose son or daughter tells them that news. I mean, really,
yeah.
I don't think that you can blame yourself for that. It's just a reaction in a sense.
It's unconditional love is what you give them. And I would say probably the biggest mistake I made is I felt like the rules, for whatever reason, I felt like the rules were going to be different. And I didn't always treat John with the same rules that I treated my daughters. Because I felt like,
Well, wait a minute. What do you mean? You thought his life was going to be harder, so you went easier on him?
I thought it was going to be harder, but it was just like with he would have friends over, and where I wouldn't let my girls be up in the bedroom with their boyfriend, why would I let John be up there with his boyfriend? And I did.
And you did?
I did.
So the rules were easier on him.
So there's when your girls probably might have a problem with that.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
That's not
fair,
Mom.
They'll tell you that they had a problem with that.
Right.
Because you sort of associated it as a buddy rather than a boyfriend, probably.
Yeah, I mean, it's a hard leap to make.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's difficult.
Yeah, I mean, I shouldn't have let those kind of things happen, and I did, and it was just pure ignorance, I think, or insecurity about the whole thing, or just learning. But essentially it's the same thing. You treat them just like you would treat any other child, and you protect them just like you would trust any of your children, and just be there for them and make sure that you have open dialogue with them, because that's what they need the most.
Mm-hmm.
They need to know there's somewhere to go, that they're safe.
I applaud you, Lynn, because, going into this interview, I really didn't know, what you were going to be able to share, and you shared everything, and I thank you so much for joining us. And you may not even realize this, but I'm sure that, the people out there listening to this show, you've probably helped a lot of people. I really do think so.
I'm so happy to do it. I really do hope I help some people.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Lynn.
My pleasure.
You've been listening to Because I Said So, a production of Delmarva Public Radio. For more information, including podcasts of this episode, visit us online at becauseisaidsoradio.com. Thanks to Anita Renfro for allowing us to use her song Momisms as our theme song. And be sure to like us on Facebook. Look for the lady with the red hot lips.
I said so, I said so, I said so, I said so. I'm the mom, the mom, the mom, the mom.